You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Listen to me. I don't know why that always happens, but listen to me. Some people live small, safe, predictable lives. And then there are people who seem to live beyond the edges of ordinary, beyond fear, beyond comforts, beyond labels, beyond limits. Tonight's guest is one of those rare souls. She is the kind of woman who doesn't just build businesses, she builds people. She doesn't just talk purpose, she walks others into it. She doesn't just inspire from a stage. She rearranges lives in conversations, in quiet moments, in the way she insists that trauma does not have to be the final say or have the final word at that, and that history does not get to decide destiny. She is a faith-fueled coach, an international speaker, and an NLP practitioner. But more than titles, she is a woman on assignment. She is the visionary behind Beyond Experiences Coaching, the force behind Beyond Sight Adventures, and the founder of Beyond Horizon Apartments, which tells you something profound before she even speaks, right? This is a woman who refuses to live inside borders. And I'm talking about emotional, spiritual, mental, or even financial borders. So tonight is not about how she did it. It's about why. It's about what it costs to live out loud, what it takes to rebuild after collapse, what faith actually looks like when life hits hard, what it means to build from the inside out and still dream boldly enough to create in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever wondered what it looks like when faith meets execution, when healing meets ambition, and when purpose meets profit, then tonight's conversation is for you. Our entrepreneur, our architect of transformation, our woman who lives beyond is Thabiso Hadebe. Thabiso, welcome to Business Sense. We are so glad that you're here.
Time for me. Oh my God.
How are you?
I am blown away by your introduction.
I'm sorry, but this is you. This is you. And I'd love for everybody else to know you more intimately and more deeply. So let's start where most interviews might not dare to go, right? Mm-hmm. Who were you before the businesses, before the coaching, before the stages? What did the world do that produced you?
Sure. I was raised by my mom was a teen mom.
Okay.
I grew up being raised by my grandmother, and then I remember there was a time when my mom left me to come and when she decided, Uguti, no, this is not the life I want my child to grow up under. And then there was a period where she had to leave me and come and transform her own life. Oh. But little did she know, she was actually giving me a template.
Oh.
So as I look at my life now, I was raised by someone who refused to be defined by what was visible or what was given to her as a resource or as a structure, as in this was what was available for her. She chose to redefine what a teen mom looked like or what she could give her child from very limited resources which she had. So I'm coming from that background where I had to watch someone giving it her all so that the one that she's raising does not have to start where she started. So has always been that child, Wunguti, cannot be silenced, very loud. I did not wait for anyone to introduce me. Mm-hmm. I'd be the loudest amongst my cousins, the one who would always want to see herself standing in front of the whole all of my cousins, I'll be the one who's standing in front of them. So yeah, that's where I'm coming from. Yeah, so ish, when you just read and said this was my bio, I'm like, oh my God. So
it's true. It's true. And I think sometimes we just, because we're living our lives, right? We're marching through our lives, and it gets so busy living, or we get so busy living that we don't take the time to see just how much we've walked, how much we've overcome. And we don't see ourselves because we are in our bodies. And it takes somebody to say, hey, this is what we see when we look at you. And I hope that that intro made you see yourself through our eyes.
Oh, thank you, Mpumi. It gave me an assignment. Oh. And it gave me an assignment.
And what is that assignment, if you don't mind me asking?
An assignment to actually be talking to you.
Now, you built businesses across worlds. There's coaching, there's property, there's adventure. Tell me, what inner wound or longing or calling connects these three? Because they don't look random to me. They look quite intentional. So bring us into
that. One, it's having lived to face a season which I think a lot of people are yet to wake up to, in terms of realizing that our lives are not in our control, something that which a lot of people are afraid of when they get to lose a life partner, thinking that we have all things under control. And only to find that that which you thought was my perfect life, coming face to face with seeing that version crumble, I think it brought me to the realization that literally what I thought was one thing that would sustain me was actually not. And putting me to a place whereby I started relying solely on what God had in place for me over and above what I would have preferred. So with every business that was mentioned when you introduced me, I did not have any business 4 years back. An engineer, of which I had worked on a job for 12 years, the paycheck was very good. Like, I could do most of the things that we look at and when we call our perfect lives, we've made it up until you realize that, hey, money actually is limited, because the one thing that I needed the most was my life partner in one season. And maybe even until now, but then money couldn't buy me that which I wanted desperately, which was to see my husband still be here. So I now live on what I call my calling, over and above what others are relying on, which is a paycheck. The calling is the one that brings in the paycheck. So every place that God has said go, I go there, sometimes going there trembling, sometimes going there and thinking, what am I even doing here? But all those things, relying solely on the scripture that says, He will never put us to shame, and actually accept as people or children of his children are actually orchestrated. There's nothing random about this call. There's nothing random about what I've done. I've just been that girl who has said, Lord, have your way and let your will continue to prevail in my life. Because at one moment, I thought I had everything under control until I had to face this one thing that reminded me that my life was much more beyond than what I could have actually brought and thought I was actually putting together.
You know, Thabiso, I'm tempted to think that there are some people who are stronger than others. Because me, I stub my toe on the corner of the bed and I'm just like, God must really hate me. And then I hear people like you who go through such adverse things. And you're talking about this marvelous God, this amazing creature. And maybe I shouldn't call God a creature because he's the creator. Sorry, Lord. I would love for you to really practicalize and realize how that situation treated you or how you handled that situation. When your husband passes away and it rocks your world, right? You've got children, you've got a dependence, because the reality is we build lives around our partners, which should be the case because you're doing life together. And so when that happens to you, what is the reality? What is the reality of losing your father's child, your children's father, rather, and your husband, and then having to face the world again and having to rewire your entire life?
Okay. At first, I remember I literally shrunk. I literally had to hide for quite a while. I walked in shame. I was afraid to face the world. And I remember there was two boys who only relied on me, or actually were having just a mother to actually look upon and actually have someone to raise them. But in that valley of despair, I remember when I had questioned who I was, when I had questioned my worth, when I had questioned why me, a shift, crying. There were days I would, my pillow, I normally say my pillow is my witness. If you want to know the days, the nights, and the times I've said, God, Lord, why me? My pillow will give you a full story of that. But there were two children who awaited my rising, which they gave me no choice. They gave me no time to nurse my pain. They gave me no time to say, you don't know what I'm going through. Because as I look at them and actually look at the long-term effect, they were just not going to be raised by me, because while you are present in your pain, you are not available for this moment. You're not available for the people around you. So that was another thing that was being created. I did all the things you would think of when someone goes through grief. I know on my story, it's grief, but then there's infidelity. There's me having to walk in that part of knowing I had to first grieve my husband, him having moved away from our home. But then that on its own, the one thing I relied on was God and scripture, only to find that he actually orchestrated my healing tools, meaning that I went into NLP thinking that I wanted to understand my where I was. That was the gift in saying, now that I know and I understand, I was able to process and grieve and actually heal, because I believe people say you can never fully heal. I'm saying you can heal, because healing takes intention. It takes one person saying, this is what I want in one season, because life comes in season. But there are times whereby you need to understand, 3 years back, the only thing I desperately wanted was healing, not the money, not the career, nothing. Like, I wanted healing. And that was the only thing I focused on.
It looks like we've lost her there for a bit.
For me.
All right, okay. We'd lost you there. We'd lost you there, but you're back now. Continue, please.
I am. Am I audible?
Yes, nice and clear.
Okay. So as I was explaining the journey of how I got to where I am, my journey gave me no option. But then as I relied on what scripture, actually with scripture, I believe scripture is, until you get a revelation. I had an encounter with God during that season. So getting to a point whereby I approached God with saying, God, I don't know why I'm here, but I trust your heart enough for me for the reason why you still gave me a chance to leave. And I remember having to refuse to subscribe by what widows are supposed to do and what not to do. I relied solely on what scripture is saying. We are being transformed by the renewal of my mind. Like I soaked, I know scripture, it is the soul's nutrient. So the soul, when you are hurting, the soul is very dry. It's like the soil that is dry. So when you are hurting, God is saying, come closer. You soak in scripture. As you walk that journey, it does not look like something is happening. But after some time, you get to realize, oh my God, I am starting to feel better. Because remember, we are spirit, we are mind, and we are body. The spirit is the one that which God connects with. And then there's now the soul. The soul interprets what God is saying. So I was able to take scripture and actually live it out, not only hear about it, but convert what I'm reading into a practical or a practice that which I, if it says that joy comes in the morning, I will make it a mission to can write down and say, today I am making an appointment with joy. And how does joy look like for me? And I would look and I would make sure that at the end of the day, I need to find out what were moments that brought me joy, or what I would plan a date with each joy. Even not knowing what is it that I'm doing, I would show up in places I felt, what am I doing here? Or you would get people looking at you and thinking, what is she doing here? But deep down, there was that longing of saying, I don't like where I am. I am desperate for a different version or a different feeling. And only when you know or you see people having that which you don't have, but you long for and you move towards them, you are able to eventually get what they have.
How did you know you were healed enough to start a business or to lead businesses? And I say this because it's the truth is we show up in spaces as we are, right? And we can sometimes make the mistake of either leaving places because we are unhealed or staying in places because we are unhealed, starting things from a place of not being healed or not starting because we're not yet healed. And because we are having a conversation about your business and you as an entrepreneur, how did you know that you were healed enough to not bleed onto the things that God has called you to do?
With my journey, I started the work that which I'm doing as a, I think my healing came together with the process of me stepping into. There's no saying I am, you know, with grief, you grief needs to be expressed. So with the work that which I am doing, I believe it is a legacy that I'm paving forward for my children. It is my husband's love that which has transitioned, that which with each and every stage that I get onto and I hear someone saying, you've just given me hope. You've just shown me what is possible. I think that's the gift that I have to the world. Having started doing that as a form of me expressing, but the healing, my healing comes with expressing and having to face that which you thought would have killed you and transforming it. Three things I would tell you about when we are saying you have transformed pain into purpose, or your pain has transformed into purpose. Three things it must do. Your pain must usher you back to God. It must usher you back to His people. It must usher you back to yourself. I'm not going to be numbing so that I don't feel what I have to feel. I'm not going to be hiding away from the people whom God has created me to be in community with. I'm not going to be saying, Lord, I want nothing to do with you, when I understand that God saved me from that which I look at, it was a horrible season, but it gave birth to a mission. With my job, I am not even saying I am, it's a business. God said to me, I am sending you on a mission to bring restoration and healing to my people. You got restoration. That which people think is not possible, I gave it to you. So it is your duty to go and be that safe space and be that person that creates an environment for people to can come, for people to can come closer to you and actually get their full restoration and healing. So that's where I got the healing part. You heal through expression.
Oh man, faith-fueled coach. A faith-fueled entrepreneur in a world that often worships hustle. Tabiso, how do you lead when the culture says grind, 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 but God says no, rest? Or you say, this is what is working, this is what is changing, and God says, but we're going this way. How does you being faith-fueled play into your entrepreneurship journey?
I am grounded in terms of I spend a lot of time in prayer. I spend a lot of time. I don't move with what's trending. I remember someone saying to me, hey, you must, I think now people were posting GBV, whatnot. Tabiso, what's your take? Why are you not sharing? Hey, the train is going to miss you. I'm like, hey, no one called me. So now I don't move with what's trending, because as I show up on a day to day, I show up and leave an impact. Like, I don't wait for the stage to can do that which I'm called to do. Every encounter I have, I would not leave you the same way that I found you. That is a mission on its own. So now when other people are moving with what's trending, you haven't yet tapped into, I am not doing this thing to can feel some sense of worthiness. There's worth attached to what we do and what we have, what we don't have. I am showing up understanding that God, you will place me, you will send me. And all those moments that have actually flipped and actually blown and left me in awe are those that which I did not even have to pen down. It's moments such as this call. I'm thinking one thing, the next thing, no, please come for the interview. I'm thinking, I've missed this. All those things. But while you are sitting and grounded in that which God has said you must do, help my people remember who they are, because everything around us takes us back to, do you understand the primary reason why you were created? Because if you under the person that creates something is the one that knows why they created the very thing. So with us, if you do not want to go back to your maker, if you are running away from finding out who you are, so how do you know where you must show up and what is it that you must show up and do in those spaces? So one, you find yourself downplaying what God is saying you have, or you find yourself coming in as a plus one, or coming in and thinking, I'm waiting for Umpumi to do this for me. No. God will place you where he wants to place you. He will open doors you wouldn't think would open. He will shut even those doors that which you are going to go there and dim your light because you thought someone else has maybe given you a platform or an opportunity. So once you know, Uguti, I have never been called by anyone. God has been the one who's saying, the steps of the righteousness are ordered, meaning that there would be no missteps, Tabis. There would be no saying, I wish I would be there, because I understand that where I am is where he wants me to be.
Okay.
So he said, I am grounded and I'm anchored in the one who called me. That is God, scripture. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
NLP coaching. Please tell people what that is and why you went with that instead of the regular coaching. What is the work that you do?
NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. It's a study of, they study excellent people, and then replicate what that which they do. If Mpumi is doing something great, I just have to imitate and then constantly or repeat that which you are doing, and I'll be able to replicate your results. I'll be able to get closer results to what you are doing. So with the SOP, imagine I am in a place whereby I am feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling sick, it's the emotions. Who does not have the problem that which I have, that which I would have to look up to and actually do the things she's doing so that I can also get to where they are? So that's the beauty of the NLP. If I am being overwhelmed by my emotions right now, who is not overwhelmed by their emotions? What are they doing? Clearly, they are not in bed in their pajamas. Clearly, they are setting up goals. Clearly, they are reading books. Clearly, they are not watching anything that is negative. Clearly, they are not complaining. So I do the things that which the people who have what I have are doing so that I can get their results. So NLP, that is the beauty of the NLP. It says that who is there where you want to go, that which you can look at that person and actually replicate the results. So it's a study of excellent people. With the coaching, remember, you must come to me. I don't only teach you how to cope. You must get to, I want to get to becoming this person. And everything that which you want already exists within you. So I help you tap into that which you are not aware you still have. Because when life presses you, when life squashes or squeezes you, only that which you carry can come out. So with the pain, with the pressure, with the grief, when it squeezed, when it refined, it only revealed versions of me that which I didn't know existed. But it took me going through a process of having other people ask me different questions that helped me tap into that person. So that's the beauty of having a coach. They help you pick up that which you wouldn't have seen in your own striving and trying to do things all by yourself.
Your clients, the majority of your clients, are they South African? And I'm asking this because I don't know how ripe the South African context or economy is for coaching. And I've been a coach for what, 6 years? And coaching is an industry that has existed for a very long time. But I think the South African market is only catching up to the kind of coaching that we're talking about, right? This NLP, business coaching, and every other coaching that is not sports coaching. And so talk to me about the difficulty or the ease of acquiring clients, because it seems like there also needs to be an education that precedes the actual thing that you do. It's like you have to sell people on the idea of coaching first before you sell them on the thing that you want to sell them. So talk to me about your client's acquisition and how tricky or smooth that has been.
They're starting to pay attention now that I'm a global brand.
Come on.
Yeah, I think most of my clients now are from Botswana. Yeah, women in Botswana. The people in South Africa are very loud, negativity. Sorry for us. You don't know what I've been through. No, coaching is expensive. But then, as you are saying, we must first educate, which is I'm giving you a price, and with the price there's actually the cost. The price and the cost. If I don't become the person that which I want to become, what is it that I'm missing out on? Of if I carry this pain long enough, or I continue to walk this path, what is at stake? The job that I want, I would not get. The friendship, the wealth, as in the mind. My body suffers the sicknesses that come because of me carrying this thing. So it's that people don't know, Uguti, while I have this problem, or while I don't utilize coaching, this is what I'm missing out on, which is still a problem in our country. But they are coming because, one, it's the awareness starts, lets people know, would see, actually, people don't even know they have a problem until you stand in front of them and then you start to share that which you were graced with, because it's another thing. I am where I am because God graced me with that. E-coaching, I did not. People were like, is that even a job? How can you tell me how I should parent?
Yeah.
How can you tell me how I should do this and that? Because to them, how dare? Is that even a job? So it's yeah, they'll catch up. That's what happened with the people who are the first, who are the advocates, but eventually they are catching up. So now it's the awareness. I'm not afraid of standing. Now, I serve in churches. I serve my community. I serve in churches, collaboration, and also not being afraid to say, hey, Bumi, if you're saying you want someone, I'll come. Because there comes a time whereby people who actually want what you have to offer, they don't know that you exist. Yes, so showing up in those spaces, but mostly of my clients are coming from people who have experience with my work. The people who have experienced my work, because it's also spirit-led. You may come to me thinking you have this problem, but as I talk to you, I'm actually being gifted with having to be led by Holy Spirit that that's not actually the problem, because I let you come back to yourself. Starting with the breathing exercise, the most powerful thing you possess is your breath. You stop breathing, you die. But how many people know that I can actually solve most of my problem by just learning how to breathe? And we have demonized those things because certain people practice that. But if you do not know, would see, just by breathing, you can actually release certain tensions that which you may have. So you may be suffering because you are the one who's making yourself suffer, not what you have been through or all these other things. So it's, yeah, awareness first. But after people experience, they are very quick to convert.
I'm going to break protocol a bit, because I think you said something quite significant around breathing, about breathing. And I think in this moment, if it's not too much of a problem, please just run us through an exercise of breathing. And I'm doing this because the truth is we're carrying a lot. We're carrying a lot of pain, a lot of confusion. We're carrying burdens. It's the end of the year. And this time gets people triggered quite a bit. Maybe because it's the holiday season and families are coming together and people realize just how much of a deficit they have because of what they've lost. And this time just triggers that. Other people are reflecting. A friend of mine earlier today said, I woke up and made the mistake of reflecting on my year and now I'm in a bad mood. The truth is the year might not have gone great for everybody. And I'm even saying the day. These past 24 hours could have been horrible for some people. And I just in this moment would love for you to help us center ourselves and take us through a breathing exercise that will at least get our shoulders unclenched and us back into a place where we feel like, not that we have control again, but that we can try again.
Okay. Just find a place where you can sit comfortably. Then close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. And your right hand, put your right hand on your heart. And your left hand must just go on top of your belly or underneath on your belly. So I want you to take a deep breath in. Counting one up to four, breathing in and hold. And now breathe out very slowly as if you are blowing into a straw, breathing out with your mouth. And let's take a deep breath in, pull from your belly, and hold. And breathe out very slowly. Let's do it one more time, breathing in. And hold. And as you breathe out, you must just go. Maybe let's try again one more time. Let's breathe in again. And hold. Breathe out again, making the sound. And now as you continue to breathe normally, you must pay attention where you pay attention to your body in terms of where you feel tension. And just say to yourself, I am safe. I release that which I don't have control over.
I don't have control over.
And I am taking in peace.
I am taking in peace.
I am taking in my power back.
Taking my power back.
I am taking in my authority.
I'm taking in my authority.
And I walk knowing I'm worthy.
I walk knowing I'm worthy.
And now picture yourself having been standing in front of the beach. And as you do that, picture the weight that which you have carried leaving your body. And actually disappearing. And allow yourself to feel the sand as you are standing in front of that beach. Allow yourself to feel your feet having touched the sand. And as you continue to breathe, I want you to slowly open your eyes if you feel safe to do that. And actually tell yourself, Mpumi, I love you.
Mpumi, I love you.
Say it until you believe it.
I love you, girl.
I'm actually teary. Oh, God.
What has entrepreneurship cost you emotionally, and what has it healed?
Sure. It has actually stripped me off of emotionally. It's very costly. It has stripped me off of the image. I am this thing that which I'm doing. No, I'm not. I am only a vessel. I'm only a tool. I am God's expression in human form. I am a carrier of restoration. It has cost me the self-image. So when I talk about emotionally, it has stripped me off of that part of thinking that, this thing, I am it. Allowed me to just be. It's very expensive. It's very expensive because you have to lose the version of you that which the world gave you, and take on that which would look foolish to them, but you understand that there is eternity at cost when you do this thing.
Why are you still an entrepreneur if it costs so much?
Over and above everything, I believe there's the life that which would I'm building that would live to out that which I'm creating something that would outlast me. So even when I'm no longer here, God says I would make your name great. It's every person's life that I've touched that would replicate to touch other people's life that we should continue. I believe there's nothing bigger than that for me. I've redefined what success and wealth is for myself. Is yeah, success is not just in one component, meaning the pay. It is my mental state. It is the relationships. I'm wealthy in relationships. It is the creativity. I do that which comes to my mind, bringing into life. I've never heard of a purpose practitioner that those are the things. So yes, so yeah, wealthy in terms of sure, there's money, there's the body. You have 99 problems up until you find yourself being sick, and then you understand what's oh no, wait. Spiritual wealth comes at a top. As your soul prospers, so does everything else prosper in line. So yeah, I've redefined that. I don't want to get to the end of my life and look back. Actually, the experiences as well are the wealth that which I'm also building. So this journey gift me with all those things to can say I want to build a legacy for my children that which I don't have to catch up with the age that which they are building simultaneously, moving with them, the things I do, the things I learn, teaching them very early, the things I do, some of them we do them together. I want to get to the end of my life. I want to be surrounded by people. Entrepreneur, a lot of people are saying it's lonely. It's not. We don't build intentionally because we think once I get, then I will go back and then start to say, "Hi, Bumi, how are you?" No. Simultaneously, you need to schedule, you need to prioritize, you need to make time. We build our lives around that which will carry us. That's why when you start to go through the, remember everything comes, it goes down, it goes up. When those seasons comes whereby you feel like, hey, what was I doing? We entrepreneur, you must have Utabiso to talk to. But if you don't nature that intentionally, it becomes a problem. So you cannot withdraw in a relationship you haven't yet first invested in. It is actually self-sabotage to you coming to me and wanting something that which you did not first deposit. Yeah, so yeah, wealth has just been redefined. It's not only the paycheck, but the calling. It pays you very well because the more people you help, the more people will pay you.
For sure. For sure. For sure. And finally, when people hear your name one day, what do you hope they say you changed?
Sure. I've ignited their hope and restored their worth. Yeah, I want them to say, hey, we realized we had to live worthy lives. We live from worth, not for it. Because once you show up knowing I'm worthy, I belong, then your posture, you enter into a room knowing that you did not go there by mistake. You understand that the room must just be must shift. The atmosphere must shift because I've entered into the room. They are not thermometers, but thermostats. People must say, "Hey, who's that?" Because you understand, Uguti, you are the light unto this nation and the salt of the earth. So add flavor. Rooms must become more brighter because you existed.
Yeah. Thank you for your courage. When you started out, you said that it was difficult to face the world. You felt shame. Thank you for your courage that led you to finally come out and be the person that God always had in mind when he made you. With this conversation, you invited us into a life where our faith meets our action, where our trauma does not define our destiny. You've invited us into a world where business becomes ministry, and where purpose refuses to whisper but insists on being spoken aloud. And not because you're a loud mouth and you were that kid, but because you understand exactly what you should be saying, who you should be saying it to, and that it is time to say it.
Sure. Thank you, Mpumi.
Yeah.
This is also a gift to me as well. I think as you refresh others, the word of God says, so shall you be refreshed. I think there's no way I can pour into other people and not get poured into.
Yeah.
Meaning that as I speak to you, I also get to experience something I wouldn't have received have I not said yes to talking to you, Sissy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. you really, this is what it sounds like when a woman decides to live, you know, beyond the fear, beyond the limits, beyond the life that you were handed and the cards that you were dealt. And this is what it sounds like and looks like when you decide to get into or step into the future that you were called to create. And so thank you for your truth. Thank you for your story. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for your obedience. Oh, my goodness. And I think my parting shot to everybody that's listening is that you're not late. You're not broken. You are not behind. You are truly becoming the person that you were always meant to be. And if Thabiso's story is anything to go by, yes, we're all becoming. And one day we will be. I don't think, and I know this goes against common knowledge or common wisdom that, oh, we'll always be becoming. But the truth is, one day we will be. We will be.
We already
are. Oh, I love that.
I think God said to me, help my people remember.
Yeah.
Because the person you become is who you've always been, but
this
all these
true.
Things you've gone through actually had to hide. So if you're remembering who you were before the world tried labeled you anything.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Thank you so much. This was beautiful.
Thank you, Mpumi. Thank you, Mpumi. On the other side, thank you. Thank you for this.
Bye.
I appreciate you. Bye.
And with that, I am Numbumele Lombonani, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.